Worship. My energy and my strength goes towards Jesus.
Hallelujah.
There's people tonight, they're worshiping the football players, they're worshiping the pop stars. They've gone, spent their money, spending their time, taking their worship and putting it on such vessels such as that. Sometimes the poorest examples of humanity you'll find. But us friends, our worship, our energy, our effort, what our focus and our aim at is at the perfect man. The man Christ Jesus. And that's why what we're doing, friends, it's the only thing worth doing, is to come to worship Christ himself in this age. How we do thank the Lord for the fact that he's worthy to be praised. Let's open Numbers chapter 16. We do greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just wanted to gather this evening, maybe just to try to speak down a certain thought, if the Lord could minister us an entrance to clothe us just once again by his grace to serve him more effectively on Friday evening when we get out for outreach, or if you can't be on the outreach, maybe just to reach out to your neighbors, reach out to your family, reach out to your children, whatever. So tonight we want to look at the thought of Aaron's outreach. Aaron's outreach, number 16, familiar scripture for us, but we look at it in a slightly different way tonight. Let's read all the way from 41 to the end of the chapter, just for those who don't read their Bibles or who haven't read the story for a long time. It says, but on the morrow, all the congregation, this is from verse 41, Numbers 16. But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, you've killed the people of the Lord. Because Dathan, Abiram, and Korah, and 250 priests at the beginning of the chapter had come against Moses. The earth had swallowed up Dathan, Abiram, and Korah. Fire from the Lord proceeded, consumed the 250 priests. The people fled in terror, saying, maybe the earth's going to open up and swallow us as well. They went home at night, quickly forgot the divine warning that God had given. The next morning, they all gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. Friends, the foolishness of natural man is quite incredible. So they came and says, you have killed the people of the Lord. And it came to pass when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked towards the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses. Do you notice that? The Lord spoke to Moses. God showed Moses what he really felt. God was angry. God's judgments were going forth, and God spoke to his prophet. None of the other people that were there that day knew what God was really thinking. They might have sensed it in themselves that, hey, this is a difficult day to live in. Men's hearts failing for fear, like Jesus said. But there was just the prophet who God directly communicated and told him, I'm going to judge. My judgments are in the earth. So the Lord spoke to Moses, it says, saying, get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, you see how it's gone. The cloud comes down on the tabernacle. The Shekinah glory shines forth from the cloud. Everybody sees the cloud, sees the glory, but only one man hears the voice. And that is Moses. And the Lord says to Moses, depart from these people. I'm going to destroy them. And Moses, the prophet, now speaks to Aaron, the priesthood. And friends, we are the priesthood. Because he's made us a kingdom of priests. So Aaron doesn't hear directly from God. God tells the prophet what's in his heart. And the prophet now tells the priesthood exactly what needs to be done in that day. So it came to pass that the Lord said, and Moses said unto Aaron, verse 46, take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar and put on incense and go quickly unto the congregation and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord and the plague is begun. Friends, exactly the day we're living in, because the plagues have already begun. And Aaron took as Moses commanded. That's Aaron's response. See, Aaron didn't have to add. He just had to say what the tape said. He just had to do what the prophet said. That's the safest thing if a prophet comes in your age. Just do what he says. So it says, and Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living. And the plague was stayed. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700. Beside them that died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned unto Moses unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the plague was stayed. In other words, he had fulfilled his commission. What a blessed thing. Let's bow our heads. Father, how we love your word. And Father, how we just love to see ourselves in your word. We love to see you in the word. We love to see our day in the word. We love to see our message in the word. We love to see your requirements in the word. We love to see your grace in the word. And Father, we just pray that the same spirit that quickened this word and Father breathed it through the prophet Moses in his day would breathe into us, Father's inspiration from these scriptures. That Father, this may be a seed that goes forth from you that will bring forth of its own kind. That Father, it may not return void, but it may achieve its purpose in us and through us and for your glory. Father, prayer has been made already for various things. We just bring it up unto thee once again. Father, concerning this place, Father, it's in your hands. Father, you are the one that has given us this place. And Father, we know that no man will take it away from us until it's your time for us to go. Father, how we appreciate this place. How wonderful times we've had. Father, just coming to this place many times. Father, what a grace you bestowed upon us. So Lord, we appreciate what you've given to us. Father, we give it back into your hands. May you bless your people this night. Brother Jose traveling to London, I pray that you'd watch over him, bless him on his journey as well. Be with us, we pray, and them that gather in like manner. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So it's saying we're going to take our thought, just if we call it Aaron's outreach, because this was an outreach. It was a really effective fulfillment of his commission. God had raised up Aaron for just such a time as this. This was the very purpose. He might have spent many days, many weeks, days and nights, just as a priest, really not doing much, just offering the appointed sacrifice, just going to the tabernacle, just going home, being with his family. But there came a certain time that the fullness of what God had equipped him for and had called him for needed to be quickened into action. And that was the time here. Because the people needed the full measure of what this man was qualified to do. And that's what happened in this scripture. You know, the reason I went to read this scripture, I remember in 2009, I think it was, whenever we went with Brother Will and Brother Virgus, and we went up to the motorbike races there for that weekend, the first time we went, I remember reading this scripture the week before, and we had a house meeting at Brother Tony's house, and I spoke about Aaron's intercession, and I was speaking down that kind of a line about, you know, Aaron, how he had to run in the midst of the people, and he had to take the atonement to the people and so forth. And just at that time, that scripture so inspired me. You know, that whole week, because we were going out there to the motorbike race where all these big motorbike guys were going to be. We'd never done it before, never got on the streets there to go and speak to people like that. And just as a man, as a natural person, you'll be fearing, just say, but hey, am I going to be able to do this? To go into these people and tell them the gospel straight like it on the street. And when I got into this particular thought of Aaron, it so quickened me the whole week. And when we went, it was such a wonderful time. It was such a good spiritual success. It was a real, real time. When I think back to that particular weekend, the first time that you went, it was a great blessing. Then the following year, we went again. Next time, it wasn't a blessing. Your brother Wilmore will remember. We came from work, and we were rushed, and we were hurried, and we had to sleep on the floor in somebody's house, and we slept late, and the arrangements weren't good, and it just wasn't the same. And I learned from that the power in these things is in the preparation. You've got to get into the right redemptive channel before you get out there to try to do something for somebody. And that's what we'll find out here with Aaron as well. He couldn't just immediately, when he heard the people murmuring and that, you know, plagues and judgment among the people, he couldn't immediately just himself run out as a man. Although he was the high priest, although he was elect, although he was clothed in the garments of his priesthood, but he wasn't yet equipped. He had to get properly equipped if he was going to be a benefit to the people. And then when he went out properly equipped for his office, what a great thing took place. And he came back with such a testimony. So this day which you read about, it was a day of judgment. If you read these chapters here, you'll see it was a time of judgment in the midst of Israel. First, the judgment went forth from the house of God. The first people that were judged in this story was Dathan, Abram, Korah, and the 250 priests that withstood Moses and withstood Aaron. So the judgment had gone forth. It was a fiery judgment consumed these 250 priests. The earth had swallowed up Dathan, Abram, Korah, all that pertained to them. It was a real shaking time. And if anybody had been really serious in themselves, any of the multitude, the mixed multitude of Israel in that day, you would have thought with what was taking place that they would have tried to walk softly before the Lord. That they would have maybe tried to search themselves and say, but you know, Jehovah's judgments are in the earth at this time. There's been the earthquake and it's swallowed up these people, and there's been the fire, fiery judgment, and it's consumed the priesthood. And friends, in our day, if we just have any measure of discernment and look around, as the prophet told us, the judgments of God in the earth. His judgment, he says, the last plague is spiritual death. In Egypt, it was death. Now it's spiritual death. And we can see it, friends. We see it in the churches. We see it amongst the people. I would say just seeing God's judgments in the earth should make us want to walk softly before the Lord. Because he's had a lot of grace and a lot of mercy on us. That's not something which makes you want to be puffed up and proud and say, we're better than anybody else. Friends, we know better than anybody. It's just God's grace and God's purpose that works according to election. That's all that it is. So, you know, if you were living in that kind of a day, if you read this chapter, chapter 16, the whole atmosphere of the place, Israel, the camp of Israel, it was a poisonous atmosphere. It wasn't nice to be there at that time. It starts off everyone challenging Aaron, everybody challenging Moses. It's like in this day, nobody wants the word to rule over them. It's like this world, like we said on Sunday, has said, we will not have this man, Jesus, to reign over us. Now, they don't want the anointed word. The governments have thrown it off. The educational systems have rejected the Bible, have brought in their teachings on evolution and these kind of things. All the moral systems, the courts of the land have changed everything what the Bible said. The children are being taught all these things from a young age. It's like the whole atmosphere of this day is a very dangerous atmosphere to be in. Because just as much as God requires the right atmosphere for the Holy Ghost to move, the devil requires an atmosphere for demons to move as well. And as the earth gets deeper and deeper in this darkness and these teachings that even the churches are giving to the people, false doctrines, and what the governments now are teaching to the people and legislating upon the people, it's creating such an atmosphere of unbelief, friends, that it's no surprise that there's diseases striking and strange things happening. And they say it's climate change, whatever way they want to naturally try to explain it, but the judgments of God are in the earth. They are. You can see, you can sense it in yourself. You can see, like we said Sunday, the financial systems are shaking. They're not sure what to do. They don't really have the answer. It's like people in a ship just being blown to and fro in rocky seas and just hoping that they're going to miss the rocks. They don't seem to have any answer. So it's not the kind of day that it's very easy for the Spirit of God to work out there in public. It's not, because the atmosphere is thick and hard. And that's the most amazing thing I find about the reaction of Aaron in this situation, is that a man could so display Christ in this story. A man could go and be a perfect type of Christ in this atmosphere. Now, these people had been complaining against him, wanted to take the priesthood from him. The people were saying, Moses, you take too much upon yourself. I mean, it wasn't a conducive atmosphere for a man to throw himself in the gap, to risk his own life, and go and stand right in the midst of a plague that's already smitten 14,700 people. But a man to go and stand in front of death, the pale horse rider, death himself, and to stand there and make an atonement for the people. You can just really see that that wasn't Aaron the man. Aaron the man would never have done that. This was the Spirit of Christ in Aaron. And the only thing that can help people in a day like this is the Spirit of Christ in you and the Spirit of Christ in me. I can't help the people. You can't help the people. If we decide we want to go out there and we just go out as natural people, friends, we are susceptible to the atmosphere of this day as anybody else. Amen. And Aaron himself, if he had just gone out as a natural man, or just had gone out just saying, I am the high priest, and had gone and tried to withstand that death that was in the land, those judgments and those plagues, he would have quickly found out that death doesn't respect people. Amen. Death respects an atonement. Amen. Death respects the token. Amen. He had to take that token and put it in his censer and get out there amidst the people with the token. And it was the token, the bloody sacrifice and the incense on the divine coals of fire. It was that that stopped death in that day. Amen. And it's the same as us in our dealings with people. If you wanted to get out there to try to help people that are being smitten by these plagues of alcoholism, of insanity that's in the day, people with green hair and yellow hair and red hair and things like that, and men making holes in the ears and people putting things in their belly buttons and in their noses and all these kinds of things. Friends, it's insanity. But we grew up in that kind of a way. We don't realize that it's just the atmosphere of insanity that has swept the world until people are insane without realizing they're insane. But the good thing about it is God's grace will always go out in the midst of the plagues to seek those that are seeking a way of escape. But God is in partnership with man. God does nothing without man. Somebody said once to Brother Francois, says, I don't go to the people come to me. That's very unscriptural. The Great Commission is go into all the world and preach the gospel. Imagine if Aaron had sat at home and said, I'm waiting for the people to come to me. While 14,700 who had already been harvested by the angel of death, that sickle was scything them like corn. And you're going to just sit at home and say, no, it's okay. You know, if people are supposed to be saved, we'll wait for them to come and they'll be saved. That's not the Great Commission. That's not how Aaron acted. Aaron had to get out amidst the people. But he couldn't go out amidst the people without something that was effective to get the job done. And that was the token that he needed to take in his censer. So the judgments already had struck. Satan had got amongst the people. In the message preparation, the prophet says, I believe the people are in the preparation of the last great destruction this world will ever know. So the people are in a preparation. It hasn't yet come to the great tribulation. The pale horse rider, death, hasn't yet started riding in his fullness. But all of the mechanics are being put in place, and one of these days the dynamics are going to fall. But we can see all the pieces being put in place. The United Nations is coming into place. The churches are uniting together. All these different things are pieces of a great satanic puzzle that's being put together to bring a squeeze and to bring a tribulation. That's what it's all bringing it to. So the prophet says, the people are in the spirit of the last days. That's amazing, friends. There's the spirit of the last days. And when Moses and Aaron looked out on that camp of that seething mob of people that had come to take their lives, those people that were angry, were furious with Moses. The people were mad. The devil had got amidst the people. The people were in right in the spirit of destruction. That got themselves into a spirit that God was going to let plagues loose in that kind of an atmosphere. And friends, it takes an atmosphere for these plagues. The prophet says plagues are devils turned loose. That's what plagues are. So when there's a conducive atmosphere, watch the devils come loose. When there's all the unbelief, watch the hospitals full, and they're building bigger hospitals, bigger and bigger. Though we have better medicine, better doctors, better health care, but the hospitals are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Why? Because of the atmosphere of unbelief. The devils are let loose. And we find all these new strains of diseases coming and strange things striking the earth, just like the Bible said they'd have to be. And friends, if it wasn't for the fact that God always provides mercy, even in the midst when his judgments start going forth, like here, we'd be in a lot of trouble in this age. But God has a way. God has an atonement. God has a place of safety for his people. And for all that are seeking this place of safety, God is going to move and equip and qualify somebody to go and find those people. Like we saw on Sunday with Rahab. God's going to send someone. God's going to put somebody under a certain commission, move them down a certain prophetic channel, and bring them right to the place that they're supposed to be. Simple, humble people like those two spies. And they're going to minister the people that are seeking for mercy under the scarlet robe, under the token for their day. And then the full judgment, the plagues, the wrath falls. And those people have found shelter under the wings of Jehovah. And it's going to be exactly the same in our day as well. So this mob, they come against Moses, and the Lord comes down in his glory and he speaks to Moses, like I said. And friends, if you really want to know what's happening in this age, go and listen to the message. Go and listen, because a prophet sees things far off. He sees the wrath coming before it's come. But he speaks of it present tense. And you go and see what the prophet, what the Lord revealed to the prophet in this age about the judgments of God in this day. Friends, the prophet says, if I had to tell the people, I can't tell them half. It would make the people so scared if I had to tell them the day that we're living in. And it's true. If we could see in the spiritual realm, friends, if God hadn't put a hedge of fire around us, a hedge of grace like he did to Job, friends, you would start to realize this is a very serious, perilous time, like Paul said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. These are perilous times. But God has given us grace. He's ministered under us under an atonement, under a token. And the death angel, the plagues, that angel of death, whatever you want to call him, the king of Sodom in this day, he cannot pass through the blood. He can't. Divine wrath, God's own judgment, God's own anger cannot pass through blood. That is why he has to take the bride off the earth before he fully judges. Because he can't pass judgment through blood. He's never done it. He had to say to Lot, haste quickly out of the city. For I can do nothing until you're out of here. Because judgment cannot pass through blood. Because blood speaks of sin that's already been judged. The price that's already been paid. So if you are represented under the blood, if you have the life of Christ in you, the very life that was in the blood, Christ has already fully been judged for you and I. So the wrath of God cannot touch us because it's already met full recompense in the person of Jesus Christ. That sword that those angels took out, the cherubim in Eden, the flaming sword to guard the tree of life, the way to the tree of life. The prophet says those swords kept people from the tree of life until they were made bloody with the blood of the Lamb. And then they were put back in the sheath. And now those same cherubim usher people to the tree of life and say, welcome, you can come back to the tree of life now. Because an atonement's been made. A price has been paid. Jehovah's requirement has been met. And all we've got to do is accept what he's done for us. And that was the same as in this day. There was nothing that these people could do for themselves. This great mob of people who deserve judgment, the same as all of us deserve judgment, friends. They were getting what they deserved. They were getting the judgment of God because they rejected God. They rejected his prophet. They rejected the holy priesthood, the sacred priesthood of that day. They didn't want those things. So God said, okay. And God let devils loose into that atmosphere. And the plague was striking the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people were screaming and shrieking. And there was terror and there was horror. And people were writhing and dying, men, women, and children. It wasn't a nice thing to see. It was a very, very difficult time to live in. It was a dangerous day. But right in the midst of that, an undeserving people, God sent grace to them. There was nothing they could do in themselves. They needed an atonement. They needed blood between them and judgment. That's what they needed. And friends, they needed somebody to come and minister that atonement to them. That's what they needed. And that's exactly what people need in this day as well. I like the way that it speaks of it in the Bible. When it speaks, it says in verse 46, Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer, put fire therein from off the altar, put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation and make an atonement for them. How could he make an atonement for them? He didn't go there to sacrifice in the midst of them. No, he took an atonement that had already been made. You see, he had his censer. Now, every priest, it's standard issue, you have a censer. So you and I have a censer, this vessel that we dwell in. But it depends on what we take in that censer. We can take the atonement in our censer and go and make an atonement for people. But we've got to have that atonement in our censer first. Aaron couldn't go out with an empty censer. Death would have smitten him the same as it would have smitten anybody else. Because that death angel didn't fear Aaron. It feared the token that was in his censer. It feared the finished work, the perfect requirement of Jehovah that had already been met. That's what made the difference. That's where the death angel had to stop when Aaron put up his censer with that atonement in it. But friends, that is the requirement for us to be of any help to anybody. We've got to have this atonement in us. We've got to have this token in us. We've got to have something in us that's already overcome the conditions of this day. And then we can go and make an atonement for other people. Then we can take what we've got and apply it to other people. We can now go with that atmosphere, go with that anointing, go with that unction that we've already got inside of our lives. And that can now bring a deliverance to people. That can bring people from death to life. That can bring people from wrath into reconciliation with God. But we've got to go with something real. Otherwise, it's not going to do any good. And that's the whole point you'll see with him, is what happened to him. So, the plagues had already begun, but people had to be brought to safety. Now, Aaron, Moses knew. He told him, Aaron, the day's, it's a treacherous day. The judgments have gone forth. And then the message ministered everything Aaron was required. Yes. He didn't have to think for himself. Yes. He had already been called. He had already been dressed right. Moses had received the vision of the high priest's garment. Amen. He had already been anointed right. The Lord had spoken to Moses and told about the anointing oil that should go on the head of Aaron right down to the hems of his garment. He had been washed. Moses had to wash the priesthood. We've seen that all before. So the preparation that had been made for this man, the qualification to bring him to this chapter, was none of his own intelligence, his own wisdom. It was a divine call. It was divine election. And all he had to do was continue to move in the channel of what God is revealing to Moses. And everything had been ministered to him. And he found himself now as the high priest. He hadn't put himself there. God had called him to that position. And the same as now. There came a fresh challenge in the land. There came a fresh challenge amidst the people. And Aaron knew, it's not up to me in myself to try to meet this challenge. I can't meet this challenge. But God, if he's called me to do this work, if I'm to do the work as of a high priest and get amongst the people and offer an atonement for them, if I'm to stand between the living and the dead, he's going to have to minister what's required for me. And so the Lord comes and speaks to Moses, and Moses gets in the spirit, and Moses says, Aaron, go and take the censer. Take your censer. You see, the message is telling him what to do. Now all Aaron's going to have to do is respond to what he's being told to do. He just has to get in the spirit of what Moses is telling him. Get that same anointing that's on Moses. Let it get upon him. And he now moves in that channel and does exactly what he's been told to do. And that's going to minister everything that he needs to overcome the challenge of that day. He doesn't have to think for himself. So the Lord says to Aaron, take a censer. Put fire therein from off the altar. So notice, where does Aaron have to go first? Himself. He has to go to the altar himself first. That's where it starts, friends. That's why we've come tonight. We've come to the altar once again tonight. Before we can go out there and be helped to people, let's come to the altar ourselves. He had to come to the altar, and he came to the altar. Now, what altar is this? This is the brazen altar. This is the place where the sacrifices were laid once they'd been slaughtered. The animals would come, and the priests would take the sheep and the oxen, the bullocks, whatever it was. The people would lay their hands on the sacrificial animal and confess their sins. The priest would slay the animal. The blood would go forth. A life would go forth to pay the price for the sins of the person who was making the confession. Then the animal would be divided up. They'd take the liver and the kidneys and different parts, and they would take it now to the brazen altar, and they would burn those choice parts of the sacrifice on the brazen altar. And the brazen altar, it was coals inside of it. And the fire itself had been kindled by God himself. That was divine fire. It wasn't a natural fire. So Aaron has to go to the place first where there's an atonement that's been made, this blood. There's blood which has dripped down into the coals of the fire of the brazen altar. And there's a divine fire that speaks of divine judgment, wrath. That's what it speaks about. So he goes now to that place. It's a brazen altar, brass speaking of judgment. So first he's got to get himself right. And then when he does that, he goes to the altar. He takes now those tongs and he takes those coals of fire from the brazen altar, and he takes his own personal censer. And he takes those coals and he puts them in his censer. What's he doing? He's taking the divine fire to himself. But it's not a fire of judgment. Why is it not going to judge him? Because there's already blood mingled with the fire. There's already an atonement that's been made. So he's taking this bloody coal and he's putting it there. And this divine fire, which is consuming it as well, consuming what was left of the sacrifice. And then he's taken the incense that speaks of prayer, that speaks of intercession, and he's throwing it on those coals, and it makes a cloud, it makes a sweet-smelling savor to the Lord. You see what he's doing? He's putting inside of his own vessel, his own censer, everything that's going to be required when he gets out there. Because that's what the people need out there. They need the bloody coals. They need the divine fire to consume the sacrifice. They need the incense, the intercession of Christ, our great high priest. That's what we need. But he's got to take it to the people. The people aren't in a condition that they can come to the tabernacle to get it for themselves, because they're perishing out there. So he's got to get himself equipped, get everything in his possession that's required to bring the atonement to the people. And once he's been to the altar, he's got everything himself now that is required. He's already been dressed right. He's already anointed right. He's already got the divine calling to do it. He's now in the prophetic channel. Moses tells him, now's your time. You were born for just such a time as this. And he goes out from there now with that requirement of Jehovah in his own censer. And friends, that's what we need. That's what we need. It's only the divine fire inside of your bosom that can minister something to people. It's only the token, the blood of Christ, the life of Christ himself, the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, that can minister to the needs of the people, that can stop the plague, that can stop people in the insanity, that can break those chains that are upon the lives of people. There's nothing, no matter how sincere we are, that we can do in ourselves to bring an atonement to people. We've got to come about it God's provided way. So he takes all of these things and he takes it down with the fire and the blood and the incense, and he goes to minister that to the people. Now that obviously speaks about the token. Now listen to what the prophet says in the token message. He says, excuse me, Lord, excuse me. He says this about applying the token. He says, believe for safety. He says, see, here's what you want to believe for. See, you want your own safety. You believe first for your safety. So you've got to get yourself right with God first. Don't think of getting out there to help somebody else if you're not right with God. You're still bound by the world. You're still bound by the devils of this day. The plagues of Egypt are tormenting you inside of your life. And you think you can help somebody there. Doesn't work. You first have got to get yourself to safety. Get that token of the blood of Christ applied inside of your own life. He says, then apply the token for the whole family. See? How can I do that? Claim it. Amen. If it worked on you, then you and the word becomes one. Hallelujah. Amen. It works for both of you. You and the word are one. Then apply it to your children. Then apply it to your loved ones. So you and the word become one first. Amen. What the Lord revealed to Moses about the requirement of that day, about the conditions of that day and the solution to the problems, the challenge of that day, Aaron just had to get in the spirit of what Moses was saying. And then he just had to follow it through. And he had to believe it and apply it for himself and get it in his own sensor. And then he was equipped now. Then he could go now to apply that same atonement now to others that were in the line of death. Others that were in the line of divine judgment. The prophet says, if it worked for you, then apply it to your children. Like Rahab did. She applied the token. What for? First? To herself. She put the token on display herself. She changed. She let that grace of God change her from her harlotry, from her prostitution, from the way she used to dress and the way she used to behave. And like we're saying on Sunday, from her old associates that she used to hang around with. That power of divine revelation, that power of that visitation of God, because she received it with all her heart, those two spies, God ministered the token to her and sealed her judgment out and sealed her into safety. And then once she was in, and she knew, hey, judgment doesn't apply to me anymore. I've got the token on display. I've got the blood of the Lamb on display in my life. I'm not what I used to be. My old life is dead and buried. My old desires are dead and buried. It's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives inside of me. Then she could now go to her family. And now it was going to be effective because it had been effective in her. But if you're still being overcome by Hollywood, how are you going to help other people being overcome by Hollywood? You're still being overcome by the fashions of this day. How are you going to get out there and help people being overcome by the fashions of this day? First, apply it to yourself. Let it do its work in you. Let those things come into your own sensor first. And then you take that sensor with you. And the same thing that did it for you is the one that's going to start to minister to them. The same anointing. And he says it here. He says, you apply it. Say, Lord, I'm going after my son. I'm going after my daughter. I claim her. Satan, you turn her loose. I'm coming after her. I apply my token, the Holy Spirit, oh Holy Spirit that lives within me. Catch my daughter. I'm going to her now with your anointing on me. He will do it. That's what makes a difference, friends. We try to resolve differences many times, just our human personalities. You will never in the kingdom of God resolve spiritual things using natural means. No matter how sincere we are. You've got to get the anointing on you first. Get yourself prayed up. Put your sins under the blood. Then go with that anointing on you. The prophet says it's that anointing that'll do the job. It's that anointing that'll get the job done. It's the atmosphere that brings the results, friends. How do you know what to say to people on the street? How do I know? I don't know. I don't know the lives of the people. I don't know what they're going through. I don't know if any of them, they're ordained unto eternal life. We need to go with his anointing on us. And he's the one that'll do the job where the job needs to be done. And that's the only way to do it. That's the only way that we can be effective. And that's what Aaron realized. Aaron realized, for me to meet this challenge, for me to help these suffering people, I need to be ministered first myself into a place that I'm fully equipped to do this job. And he allowed that ministry of Moses, as Moses was ministering to him, he applied everything that Moses had ministered to him. And then he went forth, and Jehovah went forth with him. and it'll be exactly the same with us. Now, the prophet also speaks of in Isaiah chapter 6. Let's look in Isaiah 6. Let's look at these three different steps now, which we find Isaiah when he went to the temple. And when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, we know that, verse 4, we'll read it. So he saw the Lord high and lifted up, yeah? It says, and the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Now listen to what the prophet says in the Message Influence. He says, Isaiah knew that he must find something different. Yes. Isaiah knew when King Uzziah died and he had all his hopes pinned on King Uzziah, then Uzziah was smitten with leprosy and died. Isaiah knew, but hey, I don't have what it takes really to do what God wants me to do. So the prophet says he knew he must find something different. So what did he do? He went down to the temple. That's the best thing. You go down to the altar. If you say, but I don't have what it takes to overcome the conditions in my home at this time. I don't have at this time in my experience what I need to overcome the conditions in my job, in my school, in my college. I don't have what it takes to overcome the influence of my friends, the influence of this world. I need something different. I need to overcome these things. Get yourself to the temple. Like Isaiah did, get yourself to the right place. And when he got himself to the temple, he saw the Lord high and lifted up. Then the prophet says, and then he saw the seraphims flying. You'll find it. Look, verse 6. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand. Where did he get that from? From the same brazen altar that Aaron got his live coal. You see, the same live coal. He goes to the altar. Isaiah, he wants to get a commission. He wants to enter into his ministry. He wants to be effective in his calling before the Lord. Where does it start? It starts at the altar. It needs that coal of fire from off the sacrificial altar to come and have an effect inside of the life of Isaiah before he can be effective to other people. He first needs this to be applied. So the prophet says, then he saw the seraphim flying. He says, the seraphims were the ones who received the sacrifice and cleansed the worshiper and then presented them to God. That was Jehovah's ministers now. His throne guards who would come when they saw the sinner coming unclean and with unclean lips and with unclean desires and an unclean heart. God would send forth this anointing of the seraphim and would come and minister to the soul of a person, to cleanse a person from their defilement, to cleanse them from their sinful desire, to cleanse them from their sinful thoughts and sinful words. And then once they were cleansed by the seraphim would now present them to the Lord as an acceptable offering. Someone who can now, in reconciled fellowship, speak to the Lord without having to put the head down and beat themselves on the breast and say, I'm a sinful man like the Pharisee did in the temple. But now somebody would have access unto the throne of grace that they could come boldly to receive help in the time of need. So that's what Isaiah needed. He needed the Lord to minister him from his current condition into his commission so that he could be effective for Jehovah. He says he saw the seraphim. He says, and what did he do? He cried out as a sinner and confessed himself to be a sinner. Confess your sins. Confess your unbelief. The things that you're doing wrong. Then God can do something. But friends, if we think we're righteous, if we think I don't need to confess, friends, we need to confess our unbelief. We need to confess our unfaithfulness. We need to confess those things. If you want to get a fresh anointing so that your commission is quickened again inside of your life, it starts with confession at the altar. There's no other place that you can start again. Isaiah had to come to the altar. Aaron had to go to the altar. We've got to go to the altar. That's where it begins. Before we get and launch ourselves out to do the things that the Lord wants us to do. He says, before God, then God can do something. But where there's no confession, there can be no cleansing. Amen. And friends, God is not going to take his sacred oil and pour in a dirty vessel. He's not going to do that. He wants a clean censer, friends. Before he puts the divine fire, before he puts the bloody coals of the token inside of there, Before there's an atonement in your experience that you can take to minister the atonement to other people, there's first got to be confession. So there can be a cleansing. And Isaiah, the first thing he does, he confesses. And what does this seraphim do in verse 7? He brings the coal of fire and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this has touched thy lips. Thine iniquity is taken away and thy sin is purged. Hey, there was a divine cleansing. God had a provision stored up for Isaiah that all of his iniquity, all of his things he said that he shouldn't have said, all the things that he dwelt upon that he shouldn't have thought, all of his unholy desires could be purged. Hallelujah. If he just came to the altar and made a confession in the presence of the Lord. And then once there was a confession, the prophet says there was a cleansing. There was a divine cleansing by the seraphim coming with the coal of fire. And then what happened? In verse 8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. He couldn't say that at a few verses before because he had a guilty conscience. He had hands that were red with blood. He had gossip in his experience maybe. He had dirty thoughts in his experience. Maybe he'd been looking at things on the computer that he shouldn't have been looking at. And you think the Lord's going to say to you, please go do me a service. The Lord's going to say, let's get first things first. Amen. At the altar first. Confession before cleansing. Amen. Then after cleansing comes commission. Amen. That's when he received his commission. Because now he had been cleansed. Hallelujah. Now he had a boldness when the Lord spoke and said, I need somebody to do the job. I need someone to get out there to take the atonement to the people. The plagues are in the earth. People are being smitten by these plagues. Left, right, and center. Entertainment, insanity, spiritualism, all these different plagues of devils that are in the land. False religion, false worship. All these things that are taking people left, right, and center. The Lord says, who shall I send? Friends, and if you write in your experience with God, something inside of you says, Lord, I want to go do it for you. Here am I, Lord, send me. You have a boldness. And please, if you go with me, I'll go. As long as I can take you in my experience. But friends, there's got to be a confession. Then a cleansing. And then there came his commission. And look what the Lord did to him. Then it says, verse 9. And he said, go and tell this people. Shall ye indeed and understand not? Then he was told by the Lord exactly what he should go and say. God took his words and put them in the mouth of Isaiah. And sent this man forth as a prophet who went and prophesied about the first coming of Christ, about the second coming of Christ, right to the millennium, right to the great judgment at the end. This man fulfilled his commission, Isaiah, and died being sawed asunder for his faith at the end of his ministry. That was a lie. But look where it started, friends. It started at the altar. That had to be a cleansed vessel. There had to be a censer that was acceptable before the Lord. Then they had to be coming to the altar and filling that censer with the divine fire, with bloody coals of the token. And then the incense of intercession, the quickened prayer, could come upon that. And then this man could go to Aaron right into the midst of death, not fearing death, not fearing the conditions of that day, because he knew, I hold in my hand Jehovah's requirement. In my own personal possession, I have in my experience that what it takes to overcome in this day. And if you know that, you can minister other people the same way. Because you can never take anybody higher than you yourself have gone. But if you've got that in your experience, if you know, you can now go and make an atonement for people just as much as he was commissioned to do. So he knew now Aaron. Once he got himself ready, he had been ministered an entrance by a prophetic message of Moses in his day. A dangerous day, a dark day. What was the message that Aaron went out with? What was that censer saying? There was divine fire, judgment, but there was the blood of the sacrifice. It was a message of mercy and judgment. That God, yes, he judges sin, but he receives an atonement for sin when people have the right attitudes with the sins that they've done. Amen. He went out with that message. He went out with a message knowing the judgments of God are in the earth. He knew now is not the time to play around with the things of this life, the things of this age. He knew the sins of this earth would bring plagues upon the people. Stay away from these things. Now, what was Aaron when he went out amongst the people? Aaron was the mercy seat. He was the mercy seat. If somebody wanted mercy, they had to come and stand behind Aaron. Anybody that was behind Aaron, Aaron went right out into the midst of death. There was the pale horse rider, the angel of death himself. Revelation 14, with his sickle in his hand, harvesting, judging. You'll see the harvest of death. Friends, Aaron went with his experience and stood right in the face of death. He says, stop. You can go no further.
Hallelujah.
And all of the people that accepted Aaron and his commission and the atonement that he bore, all of those people who came, maybe Aaron would say, get behind me. Get behind me as quickly as you can. The angel of death is coming. And then the people were coming and they were maybe crowding behind him because the Bible says he stood between the living and the dead. And maybe those people that were seeking for mercy, they started to look from a distance saying, anybody that's behind that priest there is safe. But anybody that's the other side is dying. Hey, let me get behind that atonement as well. And the people were now starting to come behind him. And Aaron said, come and stand behind me. Come and believe this message. Come and apply this remedy that Jehovah has given me to come and minister in the midst of you people. And everybody that took it seriously, friends, and everybody that sought for mercy found mercy. But the other people said, we don't need these things. We'll trust in our own religion. Who needs this kind? Who's speaking of a prophet in the end time and plagues in the land and that? We don't need those things. We have our religion. We have our own prayers, our own sacrifice. Friends, the angel of death only recognized one thing in that day, and that was the token. That was that atonement, divine atonement, held in the hands of the divine priesthood, the ordained priesthood that were moving in the channel of Moses, the prophet in that age, the Exodus prophet, who had brought them out of Egypt and was taking them into the promised land. That was the only thing that the angel of death would recognize, was what God had ministered as an atonement in that day. And it's exactly the same as in this day. That's why I'm saying Aaron, he represented the mercy seat to the people. If people could have realized, and we know the mercy seat had shifted. First, the mercy seat was in Eden. Then it was in the tabernacle. Then it was in Jesus. Now it's in the church, in his bride. And Jesus said, he who receives you receives me. And he who receives me receives him that sent me. But he who rejects you rejects me. Friends, it's a serious thing. Those people that survived realized the importance of Aaron. Friends, and that's the bride. Because the bride is the appointed priesthood in this day. And they looked and they saw that this man, Aaron, is the dividing line between mercy and judgment. They could just see a dividing line that, hey, from this man, this side of this man is life. This side of this man is death. They could see that death stopped there with his atonement. What he was packing in his experience stopped death in its tracks in that day. Friends, that's a powerful thing to think about.
Amen.
And friends, we have a higher calling than Aaron. Because Aaron was a servant of God. We are sons and daughters.
Amen.
We his bride. Imagine that calling that you have. Imagine what we pack in our experience, friends. Never underestimate the slingshot that you've got in your experience. That slingshot can bring down some big giants as well. Amen. In the day when they come to challenge you. And the Bible says in verse 48, and he stood between the dead and the living. And the plague was stayed.
Amen.
Now, when he went out there, like when we get out there, there were already people that were dead. There were many people that he couldn't help. They were beyond help.
Amen.
And there's going to be many people out there, friends, that are beyond help.
Amen.
Because their souls are in prison now.
Amen.
Because in this day, all hell has been emptied out upon the earth. And they remember the prophet in J.C. Penney, and he saw that woman coming up the stairs that he had seen back in the vision in the regions of the last rite when he was a young boy. And now hell had come out onto the earth.
Hallelujah.
And he was seeing the very representation that he saw in the regions of the lost. He saw her as a living woman walking through J.C. Penney's store. And the prophet says, my, could this be it? Could it be that mercy is over? Friends, it's a serious thought to think about.
Amen.
You know, I've read it once before, the words of that song that Ulrich Andrews wrote. He says, when I see all hell expanding her borders to swallow up humanity. That's what's happening in this age. Hell has been opened. The gates of hell have been poured, and what's in hell has been poured forth on earth. And it's swallowing up humanity. He says, I thank the one with the keys of death and hell,
hallelujah,
who has opened the prison doors for me.
Amen.
You see, in your experience, he came to you and he opened the prison doors for you because he's the one that opens and no man can shut. He's the one that has the keys of hell and death. And he puts that in your experience, friends, and he says, okay, now you go and set them free as well. That's what he desires because he still has his children in prison. It says, he has changed my course from the regions of the lost. Where were we going? We were going straight to the regions of the lost.
Amen.
That world of insanity. That place of insanity where people go when they die without Christ. The Bible says a fearful looking forward to of judgment. They're waiting for judgment. And all they're waiting for is the fiery indignation, the Bible says, that will consume, that will devour the adversary. A fiery judgment at the end at the great white throne. Friends, but that dimension of hell has been poured upon the earth now. That insanity of the regions of the lost, we see it portrayed in the films now, the fashions now, the music now. That dimension of hell has entered the dimension that we live in. It's not an easy age to live in, friends. We need the token on display. The token's the only thing, the life of the Lamb himself, the genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost, the life of Christ in your soul, in your experience, is the only thing that'll overcome this death in this age. It's the only thing. Not because your father has it, your mother has it, you've got to have it yourself. Otherwise, your sins will find you out. It's a treacherous day. And that's what he speaks about there. So, to finish off, the thing I like about Aaron, he was walking in step with Moses. Aaron and Moses were together. All the rest of the people are complaining. It's like the genuine bride and the prophet. They'll be marching in step. And when Moses caught the revelation now and says, Aaron, it's your turn now. It's you to go and fulfill your commission now. The man was ready. The man didn't have to say, let me quickly run home and put on my high priest garment. Hey, where did I put the anointing oil? Friends, the man was ready. It says he ran to the altar. Ah, friends, don't you want to be like that?
Amen.
Don't you want to be ready? That when the Lord says, look, you need to do this now, go and speak to this person, go and help that person. That you don't have to quickly go and say, okay, let me go and pray up, Lord. No, let's do the praying now.
Amen.
Let's pray up now that when you get out there and the Lord says, okay, speak to this person, you'll be ready. You'll be like Aaron. You can just respond to that anointing when it comes.
Yeah.
Because that's all he did. When the anointing from the Shekinah struck Moses and revealed the treacherous conditions of the day and revealed the atonement for those conditions, he ministered it straight to Aaron. Aaron got straight in that channel, responded to that anointing, got himself fully equipped, and out he went to fulfill his commission. And that's exactly what we need to do. And that's what we desire today and tomorrow to those who want to join in a day of consecration tomorrow, that you may seek the Lord and humble ourselves before the Lord. That on Friday we might go out quickened with that divine fire once again in our experience. With that blood of the Lamb on display. With that life of Christ himself, the one that has conquered
Amen.
Death, hell, and the grave. That being in evidence in us. That it may go and conquer death, hell, and the grave out there. Among those that God has ordained unto eternal life. That's the only thing that's going to do it. So he was ready. He was qualified. Not in himself. Jehovah had ministered all the qualifications he required. He was sufficient to do the job, but not in his own sufficiency. That's what Paul said. It was an imputed sufficiency. It had been given to him. And he was now qualified and ready and able to do the divine task because God had given him everything that he needed. Now, death in that day would have laughed at anything else except for that which Aaron had. There was nothing the people had. There was nothing in their military. There was nothing in their politics. There was nothing in the education system. There was nothing in anything in that day that could stop death. Nothing. Same as now, friends. No matter how educated people may be, no matter how religious people may get, no matter how sincere people, it's not sincerity. It's not your religion. It's not your education. It's not your learning. It's not your emotions. That's nothing to do with it. God has one provided way, and we have to go that provided way. There was only one thing that an angel of death was going to feared in that day, and that was that divine atonement in Aaron's censer. He didn't fear Aaron. He didn't fear the high priest's garments. He didn't fear anything else. He feared that bloody sacrifice. He feared that divine fire, which spoke of a sacrifice that had already been consumed by Jehovah. that Jehovah's wrath had been appeased on behalf of the people that would accept it. And it's the same in this age, friends. We have a token message. We have a message of a token. We bear the token in us. And may that token go out with us as we go out with the token message. But the same message that Aaron had to go and tell people, friends, it's a treacherous day that we're living in. And we need deliverance from the death and the hell and the insanity that's all around us. And there's people bound in alcohol. There's people bound in drugs. People bound in immorality. People bound in all manner of things out there. But if God has called you and I to do the job, He's the one who equips us to get the job done. But we just need to come back to the altar once again, just to consecrate ourselves once again that He may do the job. And then at the end of the chapter, it says, Aaron returned unto Moses, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. Imagine the satisfaction the man felt. He might have been tired. He was an old man. He's come back from seeing all these things out there and his outreach that he's been involved in. But he comes back and he's satisfied. He says, Lord, I stood between the living and the dead. I fulfilled my commission. That which you asked of me. When you led me to those people, I stood and faced death face to face. And those people accepted and came behind what I was telling them. Death had no hold over them anymore. They were delivered from the prison house. They were delivered from the bondage that they were in. And friends, that's all that we desire. And in the end, let all the glory be given to the one who made the atonement. That's our desire. Let the Lamb receive the reward of his sufferings. Let the Lamb receive that which he purchased at such a great price, the price of his own blood. That's the desire of every believer. So I really do believe, friends, we need just now, we have 30 minutes here, let's come to the altar. Let's bring us a brother George, if you'd come. Let's sing one song and let's put ourselves now just before the Lord in prayer. Let's pray for ourselves. Maybe we need to have confession. Maybe we need cleansing. Maybe you're seeking to respond once again to whatever the commission is. Maybe we can stand. Let's sing one song. Then we come to a time of prayer to put ourselves before the Lord, to seek and ask and pray that He'll go before, that He'll equip us now and go before us, that His will may be done.
I look over Jordan and what did I see? Coming forth to carry me. Coming forth to carry me, swing low, swing low, sweet chariot, coming forth to carry me. Carry me, oh. If you get there before I do, coming for to carry me, oh. Tell all my friends, I'm coming for to carry me. Hallelujah, sweet chariot, coming forth to carry me, oh, swing low, sweet chariot, coming forth to carry me, oh, I look. Over Jordan, and what did I see, coming forth to carry me, oh, the band of angels, coming after me, coming forth to carry me, swing low, swing low. Sweet chariot, coming forth to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. carry me. If you get there, if you get there, oh, before I do, come in, oh, to carry me, oh, tell all my friends I'm coming to, coming for to carry me. Carry me home, sweet low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home.
Saints, you just pray the way that you used to praying, but the most important thing is the sincerity of your heart. You seek the Lord, wherever you are, the condition you are, and say, Lord, take me from where I am and take me to where I should be. And let's keep this outreach on Friday and pray. Because there was some day somebody felt led to come to you. Amen. Somebody prayed up and they came with anointing on them and they set you free through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I'm sure that what you have so freely received, you would love to freely give as well. So let's all put ourselves before the Lord. Let's just sing that song, when the fire of coal of fire touched the prophet, and then we close in a word of prayer. Speak, my Lord. Speak, my Lord.
When the coal of fire touched the prophet, making him as pure can be. When the voice of God said, who go for us? Then he answered, here am I, send me.
Send me, send me.
Speak my Lord. Speak, oh, my Lord.
Oh,
speak and I'll be quick to answer me.
Oh,
speak my Lord.
Speak my Lord.
Speak my Lord.
The first one.
May the Lord of harvest sweet be calling, who will go and work for me today, who will bring to me the lost and dying, who will point them to the narrow. Speak, my Lord. Speak, my Lord. Speak, and I'll be quick to answer thee. Oh, speak, my Lord.
Speak, my Lord.
Speak, my Lord. Speak, and I will answer, Lord. Millions now with sin and shame are dying. Listen to the sad and bitter cry. Hasten, brother, hasten to the rescue. Quickly answer, Master, here am I. Speak, my Lord.
Speak, my Lord.
Lord's in me. Soon the time of reaping will be over. Soon we'll gather for the harvest. May we hear of our smile upon us. May we hear his blessed child well done.
Whoa.
Speak, my Lord. Speak, my Lord. Speak, and I'll be quick to answer thee.
Speak, my Lord.
Speak, my Lord. Speak, and I will answer, Lord, send me.
What time are the saints meeting on Friday here, Brother Willie? 7? 7 o'clock. I'm coming with Brother Rock, so we'll probably be a bit late. He finishes work 5:30, so that's why we always come a bit late. So anybody who's willing, 7 o'clock Friday. Then on Saturday evening, we're having our prayer meeting. We're just moving it from Friday to Saturday. It's a good thing to keep our prayer meeting going. So please, saints, let's do our best at the prayer meeting. Let's keep Sunday service in prayer. Keep Brother Tom, Brother John in prayer. They're in New Zealand at a convention. They come back next Tuesday. So they have one more weekend there. Let's keep them in prayer as well. Just ask Brother Mike if he wouldn't mind putting us before the Lord as we depart in Jesus' name.
Wonderful Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Once again, Lord, we thank you, Father.
Amen.
How, Lord God, we treasure it so much when we come before thy presence, Father.
Yes, Lord.
There's no place, Lord, like in your presence, Father.
Amen.
There's
Amen.
Peace in your presence.
Amen.
There's healing in your presence.
Yes, Lord.
There's comfort in your presence.
Amen.
There's salvation Hallelujah. In your presence.
Yes,
there's
Lord.
Breakthroughs in your presence.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for even giving us the grace, Lord, to come before thy presence, Father.
Amen.
And we thank you for thy word tonight, Lord.
Amen.
How, Lord, let us bless our hearts, Father.
Amen.
How, Lord God, we have realized how important, Lord God, it is for us to be about our Father's duty.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, Lord, we pray for grace, Lord.
Amen.
As we go out, Lord God, even Lord God, to seek the lost souls.
Amen.
As we go out, Lord God, to speak to them that are in the world, Lord.
Amen.
Father, we are not going in our own mind, Father.
Yes, Lord.
We are going under the great anointing.
Amen.
Lord, may you step ahead of us.
Yes,
let
Lord.
That great angel of the
Hallelujah.
Living God go before us, Father.
Amen.
Every obstacle the devil shall try to put in our way, Lord, may you remove them all.
Please, Lord.
Whatever plan the enemy shall plan against us, Lord,
Amen.
Let your blood destroy them all.
Yes, Lord.
Every trap on our way, let
Amen.
Your blood destroy
yes.
them all. For we pray, even as we open our mouth, Lord, to speak thy word to thy people.
Amen.
Let
Amen.
That not be us speaking, but let be you, O God.
Yes, Lord.
Touch the heart of the people, O God.
Amen. Yes,
Lord, speak to them, I pray thee, Father.
Please, Lord.
Lord, until the last soul comes home, O God.
Yes, Lord.
Lord God, thy grace is still open. May
Amen.
You, Lord, speak to the last sheep, we
Amen.
Pray thee, Father. As we go about seeking the last sheep, O God. Lord,
Amen.
Let your blessing come down, we pray thee, Father.
Yes.
Let something wonderful, something supernatural happen, O God.
Amen.
Lord God, we shall come back, Lord God, even confess and give testimony
yes.
of how wonderful, Lord, you have been unto
Amen.
Us, Father.
Yes,
as we
Lord.
Live here, Lord, we pray. Lord, your prayers shall go with us. We never want to go out of your presence, Father, Lord. Let your presence go before us, Father.
Please, Lord.
In our home, in our rooms, in our beds, in our sleep, Lord, may you be with us.
Please, Lord.
May you speak to our hearts, Father.
Amen.
Tonight, Lord, let thy blood, Lord, mark every lamppost of our hearts, Father.
Please, Lord.
As we sleep, Father, Lord, may you interact with our souls.
Amen.
May you energize our bodies, we pray. Dear.
Amen.
We
yes,
pray,
Lord.
Oh God, if there's any sin in us, Lord,
Amen.
If there's any yes, unconfessed Lord. Sin within our
yes,
home, oh God, within
Lord.
Our families, Lord,
Amen.
We pray for your grace.
Hallelujah.
May your
Lord.
Hands shall touch us, Lord,
Amen.
And wash us and cleanse
please,
us, oh God,
Lord,
that when the death angel comes and see
Amen.
Your blood, Lord, they shall pass away.
Amen.
May you bless us, Lord. May you bless the service of on, you know,
Amen.
On Friday
Please.
And Saturday, and on Sunday, we commit them all into your hands, Father.
Yes,
may you bless
Amen.
Every brother, every sister, Father.
Please,
whoever the devil is trying to keep away from coming to church, Lord
Amen.
God, we submit them all under their blood, Father.
Yes.
Let thy hand be lifted up, Lord,
Amen.
And remove every obstacle on their way.
Please,
and remove every hindrances in their way, Father.
Please, Lord.
And Lord, may you quicken their footsteps to come before
Please,
thee,
Lord,
Lord.
Yes,
and join the brethren, Lord God, in worshiping
Amen.
Thee, Father. For the Bible says that the whole duty of man on earth
Amen.
Is to worship the Lord
yes.
and obey his command. commandment. And that's what we seek to do, Father. Amen. We see that every sign is pointing to your second coming. Every situation, Amen. Every event going on in the world right now, Lord, is pointing to your imminent coming, O God.
Amen.
The devil, Lord God, is working so hard, Lord, to take a lot home with him in hell, Father.
Yes.
And Lord, we are also working so hard, O God, Lord, even to, Lord, to be in the life where you have put us, Father.
Amen.
May you give us grace. May you anoint
Amen.
Us, Lord.
Yes.
May you increase the oil in our lamp, O God.
Please.
May you give us extra oil, Father.
Yes.
May, Lord, as we keep waiting for the call of the bridegroom, Father.
Amen.
When the call goes, O God, we shall have enough oil to trim up our lamp and go into
Amen.
The marriage supper.
Yes.
Bless all of us,
Amen.
We pray, Father. Give us grace as we go home tonight, Lord. Let the angel of the living God go before us,
Please,
Father.
Lord.
Give us safe transportation message back home, Father.
Amen.
When we do tarry, Lord God, and tomorrow be ours, Friday be ours, Saturday be ours, may you bring us together again.
Please, Lord.
And Lord, we shall be careful to give you the glory.
Amen.
This we
Amen.
Ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray with thanksgiving. Amen.
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 Amen. Just as Brother Mike was praying there, it's interesting that if you were living in those days and you were amongst that great multitude and there was death and the plague striking forth, you know what was the sign that there was still a chance of grace? Was Aaron was there. Now, if you saw Aaron there with the atonement, you knew that there's still a hope of mercy. And friends, as long as the bride is still here, and as long as the bride still has a desire to get out there, there's still mercy for those that are seeking for mercy. So may the Lord's will be done. God bless you. Amen.
Praise
God bless you. Thanks,
I
friends.
Wait to Lord. Praise await you, Lord.
Praise await you in Zion. Oh Lord, to you who are bound, will I erect a wings, praise await you in Zion. Oh Lord,
oh Lord, you is,
oh Lord, you hear our
Oh Lord,
oh Lord, you listen to our
cry.
To you, amen, will direct your ways,
praise await you in Zion.
Oh Lord,
so we lift the name.
So we lift the name of Jesus all the way. Messiah, Prince of Peace, the Lord the way.
He's the Lord,
and our love will grow stronger.
Praise away to Lord,
praise away to in Zion,
oh
Lord.
Praise away to Lord,
praise away.